Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh had me to bring out, and that was greater works you should do. Talking about the mercies of the Father. I mean, not the mercies, the miracles that Yahushua did. And we still going to do that. Yahweh will. We still going to do that. But he put something different for me as I was riding home and meditating on his word. And just talk to people. Not my word, but his word. Not my spirit, but his spirit. And the thought was, he's merciful to us. He loves Yisra'el. You know, and me and a coworker, we was talking, and I always talk to our coworkers and try to slide in the word every chance I get. And she don't believe in the Father. I mean, she says she's not an atheist. She believes, but in actuality, she don't believe. So I started thinking, and we talked about some things, and I just gave her some things to think about. Didn't really give a word, but principles of the word. But I gave her some things to think about. And then as, you know, the day went on and my week went on, and I'm thinking about how in the world do believers supposed to convince somebody that there is a mighty one, there is a creator of everything we see. I mean, we can read the word to them. We can go through the scriptures and read it. But they can also go and pick up a book that some scientists have written, said that the world started with a big bang. They can also pick up a book that says we all evolved. But there's a way, because the word of Yahweh is truth. So we can show by the word of Yahweh that, no, there was no Big Bang theory. No, mankind have not evolved. We can prove those things. But how can I convince this woman or a man that there is a mighty one of heaven and earth? So the thought came to me, Yahushua gave me the thought, like, you can't. You cannot convince anybody that there is a creator of the heaven and earth. He said, all I told you and all else who are called by his name is to tell them whether they hear or forbid. And even with that ending clause, whether they hear or forbid, telling us that somebody is not going to hear his word. Somebody is not going to believe that there is a creator of heaven and earth, that he has a will for our life. Somebody's just not going to believe it. But that's all he told us to do, was to tell them. He said in another part of his word that, he that cometh unto me must be persuaded in his own mind. I can't persuade that person. Yahweh said, one plant, one water, he will give the increase. There's a parable that Yahushua talked about, the parable of the seed sower, where though you will give somebody that word and they'd be happy to receive that word, but they don't hold on to it. They hear it, but it's not seeking down deep in the ground within themselves, within them soul, because it's standing on the surface. All they're doing is hearing. They're not coming to an understanding of it. That's why this word he also tells us, all by getting, get understanding. You know, because he's an intelligent mighty one. And whoever followed him, he wants them to be intelligent too. He don't want them to be dumbfounded and not knowing what he's going to do and not knowing what the adversary is. Rabbi Yaakiel has put together, Yahweh through him, has put together a beautiful lesson. Yeah, I think he's on the fourth one. Talk about what does the Bible teach about Satan? Beautiful. I mean, if you haven't had the chance, start from one and come all the way up to four. Beautiful lesson Yahweh has given. So I want to go to a scripture, then I want to read a scripture in Leviticus 20:6. Again, we just talking. And the lines are open, so if anybody want to call in, they can call in. Whether add on or ask a question. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Again, this radio station, this blog talk is basically geared to Yisrael. Basically geared to Yisrael, but it's also for anybody who wants to receive the ways of Yisrael and wants to come and hold on to Yisrael and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It's to all of y'all. If you don't want to call yourself a Israelite, you don't have to. But are you doing the things that he has given unto Israelite? You're automatically an Israelite. I know some of my brothers out there may beg to differ with that, but Scripture speaks to that. And if you don't believe me, go to Romans 11. It talks about that. It didn't tell them to go make a whole new religion. When it says the branches were broke off, it says you are now being grafted into the tame olive tree. What's the tame olive tree? Israel. So Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, he had to go and tell, he had to start off talking to the Gentiles because they thought they had something new. Now, you don't have nothing new. You have the ways of Israel. They should have the ways of Israel. And then you look out through the world now. The thought of the New Testament is Christianity and the Old Testament is for the Jews. Not so. Not so. From Genesis to Revelation, the word is written for Yisrael and those who take hold of Yisrael. But here, Abba want us to be holy. He want us to be holy. He want us to be sanctified unto him. Why? Because he was the one to come and get us out of another nation and brought him unto himself. If you go back and you read in the account, he tells them, look, hey, I didn't get y'all because y'all were the strongest of the nations or the most of the nation. Y'all was the least of the nation. Y'all was in captivity at that time. I got y'all because I made a promise to Abraham and to his seed and everything followed behind him. And I wanted y'all to have my ring. I wanted y'all to start something. But we know Israel, we're hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. Again, we just talking tonight, family. Just want to say some things that was on my mind this last week. I'm going to move on to John. 1 John, rather, 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yah, and everyone that loveth is born of Yah and knoweth Yah. I'm going to say Yahweh. He that loveth not, knoweth not Yah, knoweth not Yah, Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. We got two characteristics of the Father so far, family. The first one, he's holy, he's sanctified, he's set apart. Second one, that he is love. So these two things that he has given to a people. What happened to that people? How did they go astray? And again, I can't say enough, Brother Yaakir Al has broke that down beautifully. Yahweh has broke that down through Brother Yaakir Al. Beautiful. And we here at Beth Yahweh, we don't ever want to take credit for Yahweh's word. We don't ever want to take credit that it's something that we are doing. Not without the understanding that it's Yahweh's spirit that allow us to do this. So you will never hear, and if you do, you have the right to correct us hey, brother, hey, sister, that's Yahweh's word. You have no ministry. You have the right to do that right off the bat. And there should be no argument from no brother or sister that ever speaks Yahweh's word, because we know that it's he that speaks through us. So Yahweh, through Brother Yaquiel, has given him a beautiful lesson, a beautiful way to rightly divide his word and show a true story of how Satan has deceived this word, this world. And if you go back, he said it's a slow process through one of those four kingdoms. And I'm not going to blow it. Go back and listen to it. Yahweh have given him that through his word. We had another teacher here, Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel, before Brother Yaquiel. He used to tell us, go behind me, search it out on what I say. Because he did not ever want us to get in the mindset that, hey, Brother Gershom Ben Daniel got a great ministry. He never wanted us to think that. And he was one of the only one that had ever heard that since I have been walking this way. Ministers don't like for you to go behind them. The first thing they tell you, don't question me, but that was that man. That was the spirit of Yah on that man. Because Yah had tell us, prove me. He tells Israel that all the time, prove me. So that man had to have the same spirit, or the spirit on him would have been false. So we got two characteristics here. One, the Father is holy. He wants us to be holy and set apart. Two, he is love. He is love. You know, I'm on Facebook, so I got a question. I doubt it was directed just to me, it's to everybody. And the person asked, what is love? So I took them to the scripture. Yah is love. And I took them to Corinthians 13. It said, read that chapter. And that would tell you the type of love that he had for us, the type of love that dwells inside of us. And this person came back, and you know, and they went to a place where I'm like, hey, you ask me a question, what is love? But now you coming back and you answering the question saying, love is a part of me, that energy that I'm giving you. And I say to myself, oh my goodness, Israel. This is Israel. If the scriptures say Yah is love, and you call yourself an Israelite, how in the world you going to give any other answer? How can you give any other answer if the scripture, if I'm giving you scripture, what love is? How can you tell me about some energy that's coming from you to me? How can you say that? I mean, maybe down the line, when you get into it and you break some things down, yeah, I can understand that. But right off the bat, if you ask a person, an Israelite, what is love? The answer only should be, Yah is love. That's it. That's all the answer should be. Now, when you go through the attributes of love, you got to go through Corinthians 13. Anything other than that, we don't know what it is. As the scripture said, I should pull my glasses out. And 8. We are of God, of Yahweh. He that knoweth, hear us. He that is not of Yah, he is not of. I'm sorry, family. Back to 8, family. He that loveth not, knoweth not. Not Yah, that's how I read. You know, my eyes ain't that messed up. For Yah is love. In other words, you don't love, you don't know the Father. If you're not showing forth love, you do not know the Father. And that song, I think, was a very appropriate song. It's my people. It's my people. Because we hear, I listen to a lot of talk shows, family. And because if I'm not listening to a teaching, I'm not trying to listen to a whole lot of music. If I'm not listening to Christian music, I try to listen to something to stimulate my mind, something besides the everyday music. And here, the movement now throughout the country, especially in the black community, is Black Lives Matter. And everybody want to give their spin on it and what black people should do. Why are black people in the predicament that we are in today? And none of them answer that question. None of them can even answer the question. Even to our Egyptologist brothers that's rising up in these days, they don't even answer that question. All they want you to know is that, yeah, we built the pyramids. Great civilizations in Africa, we had them first. That's nice. But what happened to them? What happened to this great people? What happened to these great kings and queens? We ain't got none now. Where are the kings and queens at today here in this North America? I don't see none. To the naked eye, I don't see none. But Yahweh's kids are raising up in these days. So this Black Lives Matter, it only seems to matter when the police kill a young black kid. Here in Baltimore, we around about the 17th or 18th day of the year. Maybe a little more. Maybe not. But we're around the 220-something murder of the year. We got more murders this year than there are days in a year that we've been in this year. More murders here in Baltimore. And 90% of the murders were black-on-black crime. But Black Lives Matter. And you know what? When you say that to Black Lives Matter, they don't want to hear that. They want to come down on you. Who do you think that... the white man should be excused for killing us? I don't think the white man should be excused for killing us. Not at all. For what? Nobody's going to be excused for doing evil unto Yahweh's kids. Nobody. We're going to read that a little later, too. But shouldn't the emphasis be on getting ourselves together first before we look outside of the black community? Shouldn't that where the emphasis should be at? Instead of thinking, oh, the white man come in, he gonna kill us, the police gonna kill us, our lives in danger, driving while black, all that's true. But 25, 30 years ago, I could leave my front door open. Can't do that now. Boogie, Ray Ray, and Nook Nook and them, they might run up in my house. It's to the point that you really can't even have a nice car in the black community. Why? Because Pookie and Ray Ray and them might think you balling. And think you balling, they might heist you. I mean, break in your house, put a gun to your head and say, we want the money. We know you're hustling. What? Man, this is a 2008 Mercedes-Benz. This ain't no 2015, it's a 2008 Mercedes-Benz, which I'm making payments on. I'm struggling to make payments on. I don't have that. Now, I'm just giving that as a thought. But that's the mindset. Because they think I'm hustling or think I'm balling, not knowing that Mercedes-Benz, that's because our body don't change, but every 5 years on a car, so that they really don't know the year of the car. All they saw was a Mercedes-Benz, and I'm balling now. So they got to run in my house, heist me or my wife and my kids, maybe kill us, to get nothing. To see that I work every day. And some of us, we working hard to pay that $750 car payment for that Mercedes-Benz. Just to say that we are balling. But that's Pookie and Ray Ray and them out there. As Brother David talked about when we was at his seminar, about building a racetrack or a dirt bike track for them. But I done saw many times when somebody has almost hit one of them on a dirt bike, and they almost got beat down so bad, pulled out their car so bad because they wanted to ride illegal up and down the street. This is illegal now. This is not something that is legal that they can ride up and down the street. It's illegal. But yet we have the bleeding hearts, I will call them. Ain't nothing wrong with that. They just out there having fun. But last year when that 5-year-old girl got ran over and killed by one of them, was their family having fun? That family wasn't having fun. They got killed that little girl here in Baltimore. What was fun about that to their family? Until this day, they haven't caught that young man. And somebody else. Ain't nobody going to say, look, we was wrong, brother. You was wrong. Go turn yourself in. No, he probably popping Willie around here again. And dare somebody to say something to him. You'll get the beat down of your life. 20 or 30 of them going to jump on you. But yet you want me to have a bleeding heart for them who are already doing something wrong. It's okay. They ain't hurting nobody. They're not bothering. You're a liar. You're a liar. Crashing all the time. I know a coworker of mine, son died on him. Mm. Ran into the back of the bus. Mm. You know what? And they blamed the police because the police was chasing him. They blamed the police because the police was chasing him. And he said, you shouldn't have been chasing him. Well, doesn't the police supposed to uphold the law and go after those who break the law? You popping Willie through the city, going 80, 90 miles an hour, weaving in and out. You run in the back of a bus and kill yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for my friend, my coworker, who lost his son, but your coworker was living wrong. I mean, your son was not living right, not even in society eyes. That's a whole nother level in Yahweh's eyes, but we're talking about just in society eyes, where there are laws set up for us how to live. Don't even want to live that way. I'm going to move on and read this other scripture about Yisra'am. This one is in Jeremiah. The love that the Father has for Yisra'am. This is in Jeremiah 3, starting at 1 through 7. They said, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? This is a question that the Father is asking Yisra'el. Shall not that land be greatly polluted? What land? The woman. She is polluted to her first husband. Why? Because she went and dwelt with another husband. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith Yahweh. That's mercy. That's hard. I don't think I would take my wife back if I knew she had a whole lot of lovers. I don't know. I pray Yahweh can deal with me in the manner that he deals with Yisra'el and give me a mindset and love the way he loves. I pray I get there. But normally, right off back, I'm not even going to sit here and try to play holier than thou. No, I don't know. That's a hard pill to swallow. Knowing that she played the harlot, the Yahweh say, return unto me, Yisra'el. Come back to me. I know you were out there with many men. I know you were. Many men and the lovers, he's talking about these other false gods. false gods, false mighty ones. That's where Israel was. They was living with false mighty ones. They was giving honor to false mighty ones. You go in the book of Hosea, he tells Hosea to marry and harlot. Marry a harlot. Now that right there is how they come and eat. I wonder how many brothers can do that today. Now we don't need you to go down there on the block and get one of them women down there, the women of the night, and I need you to marry her so I can show my people their state. But that's what was about. It was about to show Israel their state with him, where they were. They was planning harlot again. So he told one of his prophets to go marry a harlot. That's another hard pill to swallow. But push comes to shove, he's going to do what Abba asks you to do, one way or another. If you belong to him, you're going to do what he asks you to do. Jonah tried that. Jonah tried to escape and run. Hey, where you going to run at? Brother David had to tell him that. Hey, where shall I hide? If I put my bed in the pits of hell, you there. In the depths of the sea, you there. There's nowhere mankind can hide from the eye of Yahweh. Nowhere. He's omnipresent. He's all over at all times. There's nowhere a shepherd or a brother of Yahweh can hide from him. Nowhere you can do that. So eventually you're going to do what Yahweh tells you to do. You're going to be in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Jonah came out of that thing, his mind was changed. Yahweh got a way of changing your mind. But back to Jeremiah 3, family. Lift up thy eyes unto the high place and see where thou hast not been lining with. And thy ways have thou set farthest for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and polluted the land with thy whoredom and with thy wicked. That's why we got kicked out. But Yahweh said, return unto me. Return unto Black Lives Matter. Teach return unto Yahweh. Teach repent, Israel. Matter of fact, it ain't even for y'all to teach. It's for his chosen ones to teach that. And if he chooses one of y'all to teach that, then it will be for you. Three. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and there have been no latter rain. Come on now. The showers. What are you talking about? The showers have been withholden. Let's keep it in context. He's talking about Israel in their holdings, out there playing the harlot. So my showers, my spirit, have not been out there. It has been withholding. Even the latter rain has been withholding. That second coming, that second heifer of the Holy Spirit. Now we're holding that. He's waiting for something. For those men to come together, those brothers to come together first and foremost. Shalom, sir. Therefore, the showers have been withholden, and there have been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refuse to be ashamed. A whore's forehead. Understanding me talking about that for you. Your thoughts is not towards Yahweh. And you refuse to think about him. You refuse to have him first in everything we do. I wish I could remember those three things that Brother Yaki El brought out last night about how Satan deals with human beings. Those three things. I'll get that next show. I'll remember that next show. I'll write that down. These three ways that Satan deals with us. And this right here, y'all, we talking about our thoughts are like whores. We do not have them first. We are not ashamed in the way we are living. Sometimes somebody got to tell Yisrael that we ought to be ashamed in the way we are living, first and foremost, as a people. That brother's walking around with hands hanging off there behind. They have no shame about that. Women walking around with breasts hanging out, cheeks hanging out shorts. They have no shame about that. None whatsoever. None. I remember when I was growing up, a woman would never have her underwear showing. She wouldn't even come out of the house without a slip. My mama wouldn't come out of the house without a slip underneath her skirt. And this in the winter, I mean the summer. It's hot outside, but she would still have a slip underneath her skirt. She felt a sense of pride about herself, a sense of worth about herself, because you will not just see these goods. That's how she thought. You will not just be able to look at me and tell what type of body I have. Nowadays, you got to tell her, hey, baby, won't you cover that up? I didn't, as a man, I have no chase. Everything is right there in my face. There's no need for me to try to court you. You're showing everything. You have no shame of it. Brothers have no shame about walking around with their pants hanging off their behind. I used to say that if a foreign person came from out of town, came here to Baltimore, he would think it's a lot of male prostitutes here. Because he would think that they're selling butt. Understanding that where that culture comes from. He would think it's like, wow, Baltimore got a lot of male prostitutes. A lot of them selling butt. Majority of the males walking around with their butt hanging out. I know I think like that, man. Pull your pants up. And then the bad part is they will have a belly. And still do not care. Lift up thy eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been landed. Down in four, I'm sorry, family. Will thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the God of my youth. Will he refuse his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldst. Yahweh said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, have thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up every high mountain and every high green tree, and there have played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. And for all that, Yah still says, turn unto me, Yisrael. That's love. That's love, right? When you think about the next time you walk out your house, just check out people. I mean, I'm stirring people's faces. Just check their mannerisms out. Just check everything out about them. And sometimes you can just look in the mirror at yourself, and that'll tell you human nature. Yahweh said, turn unto me still turn unto me, Israel. Because the way I have for you is a much better way. A much better way. I want to read something, a count. One of our brothers. This is an Acts 7. It's going to be a minute here. This is about Brother Stephen. Faith, the elders at this time, the elders of Israel. You know, and if you think about it, if you can go back into this book of Acts and Yahweh can open up your mind to some things. There were two groups of elders in Israel at this time. You think about it. This was a Sanhedrin right here. Because when you read about Caiaphas, which was the high priest, he was the high priest of the Sanhedrin, or what we would call the elders of Israel. But also, in the book of Acts, there were another group of elders in Israel. There was James, which we will call the head of the church, or the head of the assembly. So at this time in Israel, there was two elders, two groups of elders, going in two totally directions. One who believed in Yahushua, and one who did not believe in Yahushua. What is that telling us as a believer? What can I learn from that? Even in the quote-unquote New Testament, there are two groups of elders in Israel. What Yahweh is telling us about these two groups of elders in Israel today, what can we learn about that? That there will always be two groups of Israel. There will always be two groups fighting against one another, claiming to have or to be the true Israelite. If you can't deny here in the book of Acts that they're not two groups of elders, they're not quote unquote two Sanhedrin. Caiaphas in one, Reverend James in another, the head of the other. But this is the group that stoned Reverend Stephen. He's just going to read some history. And maybe that's what we ought to do at times. We ought to, at times, go out and read the history of our people to our people in their ears. And maybe they'll get pricked in their heart, as we want to see when we get at the end of this. Brother Stephen written down, and he talked about everything that they've been through. Because you know what? Some were trying to say he's not an Israelite. And you have Israelites today that would that have the audacity to come out their mouths to look at another Israelite and say, he's not an Israelite. Why? Because he's not doing the thing or the way that I'm doing it makes you not an Israelite. What? You ain't no different than these Pharisees right here that told telling Brother Stephen, you're not an Israelite. But Brother Stephen got something for him. He's going to read that word. He's going to run that word back down to him. He's going to refresh their memory on who he is and who he knows where he come from and where they come from. And where did y'all go astray? Wow, we have my glasses for this. Here we go, family. She got a light behind her. Starting that one. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Huh? What high priest? That's not Brother James, the head of the assembly. What high priest he is? We know Yahushua is our high priest. But still in Israel, there's two high priests. Quote unquote two high priests. We know there's only one. But physically, there was another high priest at this time. Another way of thinking. And he said, men, brothers, and fathers, hearken. Yahweh of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I have showed thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into the land wherein ye dwell, you now dwell. He's going back and said, the reason why you dwell in this land is because of what Abraham did. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when yet as he had no child. Hold up now. Yahweh promised our forefather Abraham a land, but he never got the land. But Abraham said he was looking for a land that there was not by man's hands. He was looking for a land, a far off country. We don't understand that that's the promised land. That's what we are going to get. He's talking about the heavens. But Yahweh ain't promised him nothing. He ain't give him nothing. Why? Because we just read, Stephen said that this is where y'all dwell now. But our father Abraham never got that promise. But his kids did. And y'all spake unto on this wise, that this that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil for 400 years. Hold up now. I imagine that me being a Christian and I'm reading this, and I hold up now. 400 years, I'm going to start putting things together like, hey, we've been here in these United States for 400 years. What's going on? Who was the father talking about? Questions will start running in my mind. And the nations to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith Yahweh. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. But we know that nation at that time, he was talking about Egypt. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the 12 patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But Yahweh was with him. One thing that we will always hear, a reoccurring story with inside the scriptures, Yahweh will be with his people. Yahweh will never leave us nor forsake us. It's us that leave him. It's us that forsake him. And even when we do that, we just read in Jeremiah, he said, return unto me. That's it. You played the harlot, you was a hope, but return unto me. And delivered him out of all his affliction, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all the house. Huh? Again, Yahweh, for his people will always rise you up. If you're doing what he say, do, wherever you're working at, whatever you're doing, people will look at you as a very wise person if you are keeping his statutes and commandments, if you are keeping what he has given us through our ancestor Moses. Why? Because in Deuteronomy, he says, this is your wisdom. The other nations will look at you and say, oh, what a great and wise nation. So let an Israelite rise up or fall, even fall on bad times. Yahweh will plant him somewhere and he will rise up through there with the quickness. You know what? And he will be loved wherever he's at. Wherever he's at, he may have enemies. Why? Because we took on something. Yahushua said we won't have enemies. Because sometimes the adversary will always work against us, but he can't do nothing unless Yahweh allowed him to do it. And it's for our good. But if Yahweh wants us to be in the forefront, that's where we're going to be, and nobody can stop that. Yahweh want us to be the blessing to wherever we at. Nobody can stop us. Why? Because we are a blessed people. We cannot help that. Matter of fact, I don't even want to help you. We are blessed. Go back to Balaam. When he tried to curse Israel, he can't have to come back to Balaam and look, man.
Hallelujah.
I cannot curse them. You cannot curse what Yahweh has already blessed. We are a blessed people. The world know that. We don't understand it. They wonder why we have been trodden down, beaten down, but still we rise. You don't understand that. You don't understand that whatever we put our hand to, we become the best at. You don't understand that. I understand why a black woman's genes are unlike any other black any other woman on the planet Earth. They don't understand that. And not just any black woman. We ain't talking about Ham kids. We talking about Shem kids. There is a difference between us. Like there's a difference between a Japanese and a Chinese. There is a difference than these American, quote unquote, and those scattered who was in the Atlantic slave trade, than Africa. Not that we have anything against Africans, because we don't. We don't have nothing against nobody. But we cannot help our heritage and who we are. And I ain't even trying to help it. I just got to get on board and go with it. I'm going to start at 10 again. And delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of the Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. And now there came dark over, death over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and a great affliction, and our father found no substance. He's talking about the story when our forefather Jacob, or when we say his name got changed to Israel, was living in Canaan, and there was famine in the land. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brother, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls. So Jacob went down in Egypt and died, he and our father, and we carried over into Shechem and laid him in the sarcophagus that Abraham brought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the fathers of Shechem. But when the times of the promise drew near, which Yahweh had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out the young children to the end of the might, that they might not live. We understand and know that this Pharaoh, you go back and read the account, this is when Pharaoh put out the decree to kill all the babies under 2 years old. Why? Because he did not want his Savior to rise up out of Israel. That happened in the days of Yahushua. It's happening today. There is no difference. And that Pharaoh, we know who he points to. He points to Satan, the devil. Today, he is trying to snuff out all those Israelites, even if they don't have a clue who they are. He does not care. Kill them all. Why? Because I can't afford no Savior rising up out of them. And understand what I say when I say no Savior rising up out of them. Don't get it twisted and say, oh, I thought Yahushua is the Savior. God's going to raise up men in these last days to do his work, to do his will. So in essence, they will become saviors also to Yisra'el. We won't go into that too much. 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in the words, in words and in deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Yisra'el. Again, Yahweh always has somebody planted behind enemy lines. I'm going to put it like that. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that Yahweh by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Think about that. We started off talking about that. But how can we convince anybody that Yahweh has a plan of salvation for them? As Brother Moses, hey, you don't understand that Yahweh has a plan of salvation for you? That you're not going to be in this predicament forever? That you're not going to be living like this forever? And a lot of our brothers and sisters, that's their very mindset. They have no clue that there's a Savior that can bring them out of any situation that they're in. They have no clue. And sometimes I guess we feel like Moshe, hey, man, you're not understanding that? You're not understanding what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to show you? You're just not understanding. You're not perceiving it. In other words, you're just not getting it. And the next day, he showed himself unto them. And they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, sir, ye are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? Listen to what the scripture says. They're out there fighting, getting it in. Moshe come break it up, ask them, why y'all brothers? Why y'all fighting so much? Black lives matter, huh? Black lives matter to who? Because I remember wanting to get out my car and break up a fight. But I had second thought because I said, if I get out, the older brothers that's standing around, because it was like two young teenagers. It was guffing. They had like 7 or 8 cats around them just watching. I said, if I get out, I'm going to be fighting all of them. So I had to think to myself, like, why are these older cats out here watching me fight? Why aren't they breaking it up? But they sat there and they watched these young brothers fight. I mean, they guffing hard, too, and wouldn't let them stop. I guess to Moses, why y'all wronging one another? That's the question. Why are y'all doing bodily harm to one another? And y'all brothers? Yisra'el? I mean, that goes to Yisra'el throughout the whole. Why are we tearing down one another and we brothers and sisters? Why are we doing that? Did a teaching a couple, maybe last year sometime, that so many Israelites is rising up, it's almost like it's a fad. But I know I understand that the word says that it's going to be a quick work and Israel is going to come back. But they're coming back with all different types of mindset. And as I look on Facebook, like, how is you an Israelite? You call yourself an Israelite. You say you're living in ways of Israel. You've got on a mini skirt and your breasts hanging out and your name is Jennifer Israel. And I'm astounded about it because I'm looking, but everybody's last name is Israel now. But when I look at you and I look at your dress and I look at your mannerism, you're far from Israel. But your breath is out. You saying night-night in the nightgown. But your last name is Israel. You changed your last name to Israel. I guess I understand how I'm voting. Why are you wrong in one another? Why are your mindset like that towards one another? And more importantly, why is your mindset towards the Father like that? You think you want his daughters like that? You think he want his sons out there fighting like that against one another? I don't want that. But he, back to 27, but he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Huh? I'm quite sure a lot of my brothers and sisters who teach this word have that stone in their face, those very words. I can go out on a limb and guarantee if you're out there teaching Yahweh's word one time or another, that word, those very words, who are you that you think you can sit here and tell me how I'm living? Who are you? Who you think you are? And they will go on and on. You ain't better than me. Hey, you never tried to be better than me. But I'm trying to do to live a righteous life. And what I have for you are the words of God. That's all I have. And if I'm telling you the way you live, I'm not judging you. Not at this moment. See, we in this world system, we are so messed up over here. Hey, brother, you shouldn't be a homosexual. You can't judge me. First of all, I never judge you. If you're going to hell, if you're being a homosexual, that's judging. That's passing sentence on somebody. But telling somebody that they're living wrong, that's not judging. Actually, it's mercy. Why? Because you can save their life. You can save them from the fire and brimstone that's coming. But can you imagine Moshe's face? Can you imagine our ancestors' face when these brothers, when this brother pushes him away? Come on, get on out of here. Go ahead about your business. Who do you think you are? But you know what's so funny? Yahweh got a way of showing whoever that person is, who that was. Who that was, Papa said. Would thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Moses got scared at that Mongolia. Now, who else saw that? That's when he understands and knows Moses fled. Then fled Moses at that same and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot two sons. And where 40 years was expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of Yahweh in a flame of fire in a bush. So Moses, 80 years old now, been 40 years in the house of Pharaoh, he spent 40 years in the land of Midian. And you know what? Both lands, he was a stranger. 40 years. He was a stranger in Mizraim. Why? Because they was not his people. He didn't live among his people. He was a stranger. He was a stranger in Midian. Why? The scripture said that. They were not his people. Where are we going to send them back? To his people. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of Yahweh came unto him, saying, I am the mighty one of thy father, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, and the mighty one of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and thrust not behold. Then said Yahweh unto him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction, why did Alpha say this twice, of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Can you imagine Moses? I always like to say Moses, like, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. But soon he pointed the finger to him, I'm going to use you, Moses. That's when the stubborn stuff. No, Father, you can't send me there. I just ran up out of there. I'm not going back there. All you just said, I believe you, it was good. Try to find somebody else. Please, let me escape this one. I don't know too many men who have to do the will of God when he's running up here with his hands raised in my head. Yeah, I do it. Pick me, Father. Yahweh chooses a man and a woman. But we're going to deal with the man. He chooses. He builds that man up. Because first off, that man do not want to do it. He fight against that off till he give in to that and understand that, hey, like we talked about earlier, Jonah, once Yahweh got you, ain't nothing you can do. All you can do is do what he asks you to do, or you can die. One way or another. And especially if you said get it and put your hand to the plow, oh man, you don't know what you did. You have no clue on what you have just done. Put your hand to the plow and turn away from it. What does scripture say about it? It's better for you never to put your hand on that plow. He look upon Sodom and Gomorrah more favorable than he would look upon you. And you know how vile Sodom and Gomorrah was. But for a person to put their hand to the plow and then turn their back to him, oh, I pray that Allah have mercy upon you, whoever that person is. And he brought them out. After that, he had shown 35. I'm sorry. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge? The same did Yahweh send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. See what I talked about earlier? Yahweh going to send a man. No different in these days. He's raising up these men. Apostle know that. So he's fighting all of them. He brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall Yahweh, your mighty one, rise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. He shall hear, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the assembly in the wilderness, which the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our father, which received lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoice in the works of their own hands. No different than what we do today, family. Then Yahweh turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye, house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your might, of your God, reference, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Yahweh said this. After he did all this, after 40 years, Israel, y'all took up the tabernacle, the worship of Moses, and the star, and of your mighty one, breath, figures which ye have made, worship with him. Let me look at this word there. By an incorrect translation, transliteration, for a word of Hebrew, order, 3594, reference, i.e., it should be pronounced Kajin, an Egyptian idol. Huh? Is that why we are so bent on trying to get back to Egypt today? Israelites trying to convince other Israelites to go back to the idols of Egypt? Come on now. How is that? But that's word. That's word. Israelites. Egyptology is on the rise. Big. And you know what was so funny about Egyptologists? They don't fight against nobody else but Israelites. Wow, what? Go to the Christians. Go to the Buddhists. Go to the Muslims. Kemet and his Egyptologists, all they want to do is try to destroy Israel. Who was in their hearts and minds doing that, trying to destroy Israel? And we go to 3595 to show the way, or figuratively, teach, guide, or lead. What way are you showing if you're not showing Yahweh's way? Where are you guiding the people if you're not guiding them to Israel? And what are you teaching the people if you're not teaching them Israel? These are hand kids. This is the way that came about. It takes me back to when Brother Yake Al thought about Ham kid and what he saw, what Ham saw when the swallow was next. It should have been there. That was a good teacher. I won't bring that out tonight, though. But that's what it takes me back. Ham kids going to bring about another way. They're going to bring about another way, another teaching. They're going to guide people another way. All this is hand kids. Why? Because Israel was turning back to them. Israel was going in the ways of hand kids. They ain't learning on their own. Somebody had to teach them. Somebody had to teach them about this Egyptian idol. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. And he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, as he has appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. First of all, he had to come back with that. Y'all had the tabernacle of in the room. Y'all had the Spirit. Y'all had the living, mighty one with y'all. Y'all rather turn the idol. Y'all rather go and worship an idol, a figure that you made with your own hand, and say, now you are my mighty one. I mean, that's the craziest thing in the world. I'm going to build something, but I got to bow down to it. Come on. Which also our fathers that came after brought into, with Yahushua, into possession of the Gentiles, whom Yahweh drove out before the face of our fathers, unto the days of David, who found favor before Yah, before the Mighty One, and desired to find a tabernacle for the Mighty One of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelt not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith Yahweh? or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and ears ye do not always hear, and ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of our judgment. Of whom you have been not now the betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they had heard these things, they were cut in their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That's one thing about the word. The word will cut you in your heart if you want it. If you allow it to do what it's made to do, it is made to cut. If you understand what I'm saying, away this fleshly heart, away this flesh from the spirit. You know, that's what's growing inside of it. If you go back to the Holy Spirit and you look that up in the Hebrew, it's going to take you to a word clean. It's going to take you to clean. And that's what it's doing from within. Because we are dirty by nature. No, I'm not saying the nature that you live, yes, I am saying that. I mean, just your skin, whatever we are as a human being, Scripture says we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Yahweh told us, in other words, not to be holy. I want you to be clean like me. So that cleanness has to start from within, like Brother Yahushua said, like our Savior and Redeemer said in another scripture. I believe that's in Mark chapter 7, when the Pharisees pulled him up, talked about his disciples didn't wash their hands. He said, clean the inside of you. Inside of you. Meaning the inside of you. Yahweh said in another place in the Psalms, how shall a young man cleanse his lips? In other words, how shall we become holy? By taking hold of his word. By returning back unto him. There's no other way Israel, or people of color, not just people of color, but anybody. But here, I like to deal with my people. Now, I'm not against any other people, but I like to deal with our people. Because we are the ones that their word was entrusted. And if you believe the word of Yah, like I believe the word of Yah, and he talks about in Romans, we're going back to 11, and he said, how much more if these people, the Israelites, the natural branches, if they turn back to the world? Because he first said, don't be boasting because they got cut off. Because now we can burn y'all and take y'all off the tree too. But how much more beneficial it will be to the world if the natural branches will come back? If our cutting away is glory and beneficial to the world, how much more if the natural branches come back? That's what Brother Paul said in Romans 11. I believe that. Why? Because we have something embedded within us that needs activating. That's been in the loins of our father Abraham, that's been in the loins of our father who was around that mountain for those 3 days that they had to stay away from their wives and come up to the mountain. Remember, he only asked the men to come up to the mountain. Not saying that the women were unimportant. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a situation and an understanding that Yahweh needs these women. Why? Because he called them first to do a work. That's why we carry the seed. That's why we can translate that seed from generation to generation, where because we was in Abraham's loins. Those forefathers that stood at the mountain, we were in their loins. That's why he talks about if a woman and a man, two men fighting, woman jump in and she grab his secrets, his jewel, he said, cut that woman's hand off. Is he mad because that woman jumped in and helped her husband? No. What he wants is that seed to continue. He don't want that seed to be cut off. That seed means something. You never know what Yahweh has in store for that unborn seed. You never know. That's why this world system fights so much against us as a people. It's a black people. The number one murder of black people is abortion. You're talking about 700,000 more per year. That's the number one murder of black people. That's killing a seed and a half right there. That's stopping a seed is abortion. The number one murder. Not the cops, not black on black crime, but abortion is the number one. Black Lives Matter, though. Why aren't we boycotting these abortion centers? Why aren't we doing that? And on top of that, if you just heard what Planned Parenthood doing, they taking their babies and they selling them up. You know? Why are you selling the white people up? Or the Chinese people? Why the black man? Why his parents? What is it about them? What is it about these people that's so special? What is it? Yahweh got the answer for it. Yahweh have the answer. I'm going to go ahead to Isaiah. Sister told me about the scripture, and I had to read it for myself. I said, wow, that's perfect. It's perfect on how he loves. He was Isaiah 54. Read this whole chapter. And again, he's talking about Yisra'ah. Seeing, O burn, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yahweh. If we need an unmarried children, unwed children, yo, come on now. You tell me this book ain't real? You tell me that? And I'll show you prophecies in this book that have already came to pass. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy face. For thou shake right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the darkness see to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of the or the widowhood anymore. For the Maker is thy husband. Hallelujah. For Yahweh said, return back unto me, O Israel. Yahweh of hosts is his name. And the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of the whole earth shall he be called. He is the Mighty One of the whole earth. But he gets specific when it comes to you, Israel. Not with any other nation. He gets specific. I am your husband. Yes, I am the Mighty One of the whole earth. I am the power of the whole earth. But I am your, for Yahweh has called thee as a woman and grieve in spirit, and a wife of Jew. When thou reproves, saith Yahweh, thy mighty one. For as a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. We can't imagine life. We can. We can take the 400 years of slavery. He has forsaken us. But if you try to understand when he says forsaken, first of all, we have to be aware that he's dead. And if we are aware that he's dead, say your wife or your husband, you know they're dead. Always. And when your wife gives you the cold shoulder, you're aware that she's giving you cold shoulder. There has been a time in our life that Yahweh has forsaken us as a people, that we weren't even aware that he had forsaken us. A lot of us are just coming into this knowledge that we are the children of Israel. We weren't even aware that he has forsaken us. I say all that to say, if he was in the shoes of Yahushua of the next room, who knew his father at all times, there was not a moment, a second in his life that he did not know his father and were not aware of his father. But a brief moment he has to say how he had to feel at that moment. Huh? How he had to feel at that moment when Yahweh just said a brief moment. And the mind said, I'm doing this because you asked me to do this, Father. And at this moment, I don't even feel you. But I'm doing this because you asked me to do this. Now I don't feel you. I don't know where you are at this moment. I have never been without you my whole entire life or existence. We can go there. It's all existence. We have never spent a moment without you. But for a brief moment, it follows the sacred gift of the sins of the world. So we will never understand how to be truly forsaken. Because Yahweh always watching. We may not feel him or understand or have a perception or even know that there's a mighty one looking down and watching. But he's always there. So judgment time, you know, that's a different story than is on you. You did not accept. But we can't imagine that. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee. For a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer. Here's the love that Yahweh has. I can't think of nobody that has ever loved me like that in my life. Not even my mom. I can't remember or even begin to feel that type of love. Regardless of what type of person I was, his eyes never came up. And we can walk away from Yahweh ourselves. We can. That's the story in the parable that Yahushua gave about the prodigal son. That was that. To teach us that. He walked away. Prodigal son wanted his inheritance there. But when Yahweh or the father saw him afar off, turning back towards him, he ran to him. And forget, and he didn't even want his son to bring up what he had done. Go back home now in my book. That's love. Our father, that's what he's saying to us. Return unto me, O Israel. For this is as the water of Noah unto me. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I would not be brought nor rebuked, Israel. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall thy covenant of my peace shall be removed, saith Yahweh, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with the time, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphire, and I will make thy window of gates, and thy gates of cherubim, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Hallelujah. And in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and for terror and from terror, for thou shalt not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Not even your enemies can do anything to you.
Hallelujah.
That's protection. Protection is right. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coal in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Do we understand that, family? I don't care what we're going through in this world, what is going on in your life, or who is coming up against you. If you are one of Yahweh's kids, if you are one of his chosen ones, if you are called by his name, then nothing, no weapon that man can form, that man can do, none whatsoever can hurt you. None. We have examples of that when Brother Shaul was out gathering sticks in a deadly snake pit. The men looked at him and looked at him, watched him. Brother Shaul got like 2 minutes to be out of here. Brother Shaul shook the snake off, kept working. It was amazing. Nothing can harm him. Nothing. 3 Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. They burnt it. The fire was so hot, the men that took them up there died. So I'm guaranteeing if I was there and I was up there and the men that took them up there, I'm like, hey, y'all walk the rest of the way by yourself. You know, y'all go up in the fire by yourselves. I didn't see 2 brothers that took y'all up there. They did. But how those 3 men right there ain't died yet? You know, and when the king rose up and ran down there, he knew, man, them brothers chalko. They chalko. But when he looked in there, he said, there's one more in there. And he looked like the Son of Man. That fiery furnace, what does that represent? Today, that is our life, trials, and tribulations. Yahweh told our forefather Jacob, go ahead down in Egypt. Egypt is known as the iron furnace. I'm going to be there with you. Don't be afraid to go down, because he didn't want to go down there. Hey, I'm going to be down there in that iron furnace with you. How I'm going to show you that I'm going to be down in that iron furnace with you? I'm going to let it come to pass. 3 of your grandsons, your great-grandsons, and be in the furnace, and I won't be in there with you. I'm going to let it come to pass by my word, because I told you I'll be in that iron furnace with you. I'll be down in Egypt. So no weapon oh man, the deer got dandruff. You talking about lions who haven't eaten in days. They purposely not fed these lions. You can't get a dove that don't eat for days. It won't turn on you. Even if you his master, you go down there to try to take his bowl, he gonna bite you. You be hungry. Yahweh shut the lion's mouth up for Brother Daniel. He used him as a pillow. To lay down. That made that set that to the king. He made a decree. Whoever Daniel God is the God of us, is the mighty one of the earth. And that's what Yahweh wants. He wants witnesses. He wants living witnesses. You know, we've got a group out here who want to steal that. Jehovah's Witnesses. They try to steal Jehovah's Witnesses. I get out of here, man. It's so like, we are the witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. You, the ones who I've only known. Yahweh said, no weapon shall be that's formed by man. Even the adversary can prosper against you. Why? Because I love you. That's why I love you. If I needed you to learn a lesson, understand that I'm giving you a blessing. I'm chasing those that I love. Don't look at your life and say, oh, woe is me. Step away from it. That should bring you closer to me. See, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee, devils, thou shalt condemn. They can't even judge you. This what happened. They can't even rise up against you. That's going to take faith. That's going to take faith and understanding who you are when you're able to tell them silence. Get behind me. If you don't understand, it's not them, it's how sometimes they choose you. But sometimes you will have to tell a person, get behind me, Satan. And they will have to give you that look that our full father, Brother Kepa, or Peter look when Yahushua told him that. You imagine the look, oh, like, did you just call me Satan? Yahushua. That hurt him for a thought. I guarantee it did. You don't have to do it because few people like that. Get behind me. What it is, you're being used by a house attorney right now. So I have to rebuke him that's on you. Yahweh gave us that. He said, thou shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh. And their righteousness is of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just wanted to talk about the goodness of Abba tonight and show from his word and from our own lives that everything he said shall come to pass, and for some of us, it did come to pass. And if Yahweh people give you a word, let's believe it's coming to pass. Believe that. Last scripture, family. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, people of color, we matter. Will marching help us? No. Will boycotting even help us? No. Picketing help us? No. Will voting help us? Democrat or Republican? Only thing that's going to help us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. There's a lot in that one verse. One of the most often quoted verses in the scripture. You got non-quote-unquote believers quoting that. And it hurt so much. It's like my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They didn't hear that so much. They quote that so much. But they never read all of it. Because you have rejected knowledge. That's why you are destroyed. Because you have rejected the very thing that said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You reject that. So no movement of any kind will help us as a people. None whatsoever. Only thing will help us as a people is to humble ourselves and repent. And turn from our sinful ways. That's it. I want to thank y'all for listening in and being with me tonight. I want to thank Abba Yah for giving me the strength to do. In His holy and precious Son name, I want to thank Him, Yahushua HaMashiach. I want to end with a prayer. Abba Yah, I beseech you on behalf of your people. On behalf of your chosen ones, on behalf of Israel, Father, that we turn from our wicked ways, Father. That your mercy always be upon us and always be with us, Father. Father, that in these last days that you raise up men that say, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Men that will turn away from their own selfish ways and will live for you, Father, and only you, Father. But, Father, that's what you ask of us. You ask of us to turn away from ourselves and live solely for you. That is the reason why we were born, Father. May our faith be increased, Father. May that second help of us, that second part of the Holy Spirit, be speedily, Father. May it come down like rain, Father, in this due season. Yahushua's name I pray. Amen.